Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 and the Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And we're going to open with a word of prayer here. And then I was going to talk about a couple things that are happening and that you may be interested in. And so let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Lord, we do pray that you would bless the program. We ask that you would use it for your glory. We just ask that you would help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. Again, we thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, as I said, welcome to the program today. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon. And good program, good Bible study with Pastor Lutz in the previous half hour. And if you got the chance to tune in, I hope you do that. At 1 o'clock, he comes on, and then stay tuned after us at 2 o'clock when Pastor Rusnacko comes on. And you will always be blessed there. I'm always amazed at the list that he comes up with. He'll say, I've got 8 things that, and he'll go through all 8 of those things, or I got 12 things, he'll go through all 12 of those things, or sometimes it might be 5 things, but whatever it is, he always got some great lists that come out of God's Word, and so I know that'll be a blessing to you. So, well, again, if you have a telephone, or I'm sorry, question, you can give us a call by telephone today at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We would love to hear from you here this afternoon, and do want to mention, of course, that you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. I encourage you to check us out there. Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. I try to put some things on there, some news items from time to time. Also, now, on occasion, we have some announcements or something, special guests coming on scheduled at the last minute, hopefully next week, in fact, or either a week from today or a week from Sunday, or possibly both. We may have a guest speaker on with us, but we'll find out. I'll be posting that on our Facebook page. So if you just check us out on Facebook, Live with Pastor Al. And let's see, you can also, like I said, watch us on Facebook Live during the program. And that's all it. You can either livewithpastoral.com or like us on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com, Live with Pastor Al. All right. I was going to mention something. I went to a legal seminar yesterday up in Ashtabula, and there's a terrific ministry. A lot of our listeners have heard of the Christian Law Association, lesser known, but certainly by no means lesser in quality, is the Lighthouse Legal Ministry out of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Ashtabula, Ohio. And really, it's of the caliber of Christian Law Association, because the attorney, Terry Hamilton, who helped found Lighthouse Legal Ministries, was also one of the people who was instrumental in the founding in the beginning early years of the Christian Law Association. And the Christian Law Association, of course, used to be located here in northeastern Ohio. And then when David Gibbs moved the Christian Law Association down south, Brother Hamilton, Attorney Hamilton, he did not feel that was the way the Lord was leading him to go at the time, and he stayed up here at his home church, the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Ashtabula, Ohio, and God blessed the pastor, Jim Jones there, and the people came together, and came together, and they had a burden to continue a legal ministry here in northeastern Ohio. And so every year I go to their fall legal seminar for it's for Baptist pastors, and so it's always an enjoyable thing. In fact, Pastor Lutz, it was just on before us. He was there as well. We had some good fellowship while we were there. But there is something there that I picked up that I wanted to share with a little bit here. And by the way, if you're trying to watch on Facebook, I don't know what's happening with the internet connection here, but it's choppy. It's cutting in and out. So, looking at this, this was a release 1 week ago today. This is 1 week ago today, Friday, October 6th. The Attorney General Sessions issued a guidance on federal law protections for religious liberty. Now, I posted a link to this on our Facebook page, and I wanted to mention this today because this is really a phenomenal document. And a lot of times people think that elections don't matter that much, that elections aren't that important. But the thing of it is, in this last election, there was such an incredible contrast between some of the philosophies and outlooks of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And neither of them perfect people. Of course, nobody's a perfect person. We're all flawed human beings. We're all sinners by nature. We all need a savior. And as we've mentioned before, there is evidence that Donald Trump prior to the election, due to the influence and witness of a number of pastors and evangelists who had opportunity to talk with him and share the gospel with him, there is evidence, credible evidence, that he indeed put his faith in Christ as his Savior. Now, he's not a perfect Christian, and he's still a baby Christian, and I know some fairly mature Christians in terms of age that have been Christians for many years that still do dumb things. I'm thinking one of them is myself. I've been saved for a number of years since I was 9 years old, and I still do some pretty dumb things and occasionally say some dumb things. And so as we grow, hopefully we mature and become more like Christ. But getting back to the difference in these two elections, Daniel and Daniel chapter 2 talks about how God sets up princes and pulls down princes. And it's interesting because everybody thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. I think Donald Trump even thought Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. And I remember working the presidential election, and I volunteered work at the elections, and I remember it was people were coming in to vote thinking, well, here in Richfield Village, I'm confident Trump is going to carry our precinct and the other two precincts, but not so sure about down in Akron, because we're down in Summit County. And I wasn't sure that Summit County would be carried for Trump, and I was worried that Ohio might not be carried for Trump. So I was watching pretty closely, and I remember I had been up since wee hours of the morning to help, to be ready to open the polls, and I was trying to stay awake, and it looked like it was still going to be Hillary, but then things were turning, and I remember as I fell asleep watching the returns, and then I woke up about 45 minutes or so later, something like that. They basically were calling it for President Trump, and they're going back and forth between the two things. And I remember feeling pretty happy because that Donald Trump had won, because I knew there was a big difference between these two people. And this selection here for Attorney General, I'm remembering back in the Bill Clinton administration, when we had, the Department of Justice and how it was ran then with Attorney General Janet Reno, and the antipathy that was displayed towards Christians and towards people with religious strong religious views, especially of a more conservative religious bent, in addition to conservative political leanings, and I just imagine, looking at how the attorney generals, the two attorney generals under the Obama administration, and their antipathy as well, increasing hostility towards Christians and people of conservative religious views. And so I'm just so thankful that Attorney General Sessions issued this guidance on federal law protections for religious liberty. And I just wanted to share a couple of these things here, but he says this in this memorandum, that it's prompted by President Trump's executive order number 13,798, May 4th, 2017, which directed the Attorney General to, quote, issue guidance interpreting religious liberty protections in federal law in order to guide all agencies in complying with relevant federal law. And so this is a very important statement that came out. He said, this guidance interprets existing protections for religious liberty in federal law, identifying 20 high-level principles that administrative agencies and executive departments can put to practical use to ensure the religious freedoms of Americans are lawfully protected. Attorney General Sessions also issued a second memorandum to the Department of Justice directing implementation of the religious liberty guidance within the department. And there's a number of things that it goes through here where the Attorney General made some directives to attorneys and various others operating under the Department of Justice. And basically, all of this is to enforce religious liberties. And we're not going to get through all 20 of these here. And I wanted to comment on some of these things because, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, in verse number 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so we have here a righteous individual who has issued a tremendous statement here. And this recognizes at the start of this statement, religious liberty is a foundational principle of enduring importance in America, enshrined in our Constitution and other sources of federal law. And just commenting on some of these things, we know, of course, we're familiar with the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, but also there's other things within the Constitution, because some people had argued that we didn't need a Bill of Rights in the beginning, but actually it was thanks to the influence of the Baptist pastor John Leland and the Virginia Baptists in particular that we do have the Bill of Rights. They wanted to make sure it was enshrined in the Constitution. And then most state constitutions, Ohio's state constitution, for instance, and I believe it's Article 1, has some tremendous language supporting religious freedom. In fact, the Northwest Ordinance, which was what governed this part of the country, the Northwest Territories, which would be Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin, I believe, were all controlled or ruled under the Northwest Ordinance before they became states. And that also had strong language defending and preserving religious freedom within the Northwest Territory. And so he says that that as James Madison explained in his memorial on the remonstrance against religious assessments, the free exercise of religion, quote, is in its nature an unalienable right. And of course, these rights, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence recognize that these rights come from God, from our Creator. They come from our Creator, that we were endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And so we have these rights enshrined in the very basis of our government. And that's some of the things that this country was set up to preserve. And so I'll just start touching on a couple of these, and I know we'll run out of time. We won't get through all 20 of them. But the first one that Attorney General Jeff Sessions recognized and put in his memorandum for all executive agencies and departments is that, number one, the freedom of religion is a fundamental right of paramount importance expressly protected by federal law. Now, that's good, especially when we have some cases coming before the Supreme Court, and we're going to have government attorneys weighing in either giving testimony or filing amicus briefs or something like that. There's the case of the Colorado baker who had refused to, because it violated his religious beliefs, to do a cake for same-sex marriage, even though he directed the customers to another baker who was glad to do the cake, he was still sued. There was nothing there that prevented them from having a cake, nothing whatsoever. But they basically, in some of these cases, people have shopped around trying to find ways to push lawsuits to really go after the religious rights of individuals and small companies and businesses. So he recognizes that religious liberty is enshrined in the text of our Constitution, as we said, and numerous federal statutes. And so it encompasses the right of all Americans to exercise their religion freely without being coerced to join established church or satisfy a religious test as qualification for public office. In fact, I forget what the article is in the Constitution, but it basically says there is to be no religious test for people to have political office. And that's because, for instance, before our country was a sovereign nation, the various colonies, some of them had requirements. For instance, in Massachusetts Colony, which was the state religion, the official religion was the Congregational Church. You could not hold public office in the Massachusetts Colony unless you were a member of the Congregational Church. In fact, they also said that you could not practice religion, you could not meet unless it was officially sanctioned by the Congregational Church. And so if you were not a member of the Congregational Church, you did not have the rights that others had in Massachusetts. And you had some similarities in Virginia early on as well, if you were not a member of the Episcopal Church, which of course was derived from the Church of England, in itself a state church. And so we had a number of colonies that had state churches, and that's why we have the Bill of Rights. That's why Pastor John Leland was so emphatic that they would oppose the Constitution unless there was a Bill of Rights added to it. In fact, you can go to Virginia, I believe it's near Orange, Virginia, and you can look it up online. You can put John Leland and the memorial online, just kind of Google it. They do have a site where he met with, I believe it was James Madison, and made an agreement because he was going to oppose Madison to be a representative to the Constitutional Convention, and he was going to vote against it. But Madison promised that he would support religious freedom and a Bill of Rights. And so we have that Bill of Rights thanks to these Baptists that were persecuted in Virginia. They were persecuted in Massachusetts. And when I say persecuted, I mean they were fined, they were beaten, they were imprisoned, they had property confiscated, and in some cases actually killed because they did not adhere to the state church. And as a Baptist pastor, this is something that's very important to me, because this has been a historical hallmark of the Baptists down from the first century, that we do not believe in a state church. We do not believe that the church is subject to the state. I should put it this way. We do not believe that the church is under the state. Now, obviously, we're going to be subject to the state in certain things. If I were driving a church van or a church bus, I would obey the speed limit that the state puts on the highways. I would obey the road, the traffic laws and things like that. There's certainly nothing wrong with making sure that your building is safe and in accordance with the local fire safety laws and things like that. But what we're saying is the state has no right to come in and to tell the church what they can and cannot believe and how they can or cannot conduct their business as a church. And I know I'm not going to get through very many of these here, but if you want to call and ask questions too, you can still do that. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 is our number here. But number two on this list was the free exercise of religion includes the right to act or abstain from action in accordance with one's religious belief. Now, here we are. There's federal statutes. There's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. We refer to that as RFRA. And this was something that supported that. The free exercise clause of the First Amendment protects not just the right to believe or the right to worship, it also protects the right to perform or abstain from performing certain physical acts in accordance with one's belief. And that's the stand that Baptists down through the ages have been persecuted over. And this is why it's in the, why, again, Leland and others contended for a Bill of Rights, because there were times, for instance, when the Roman Catholic Church controlled certain states in Europe, if you would not submit an infant to infant baptism, which really isn't baptism, baptism according to the scriptures was always, always in the scriptures, the immersion in the water, not the sprinkling of water on somebody or the pouring of water. It was always, that's what the word, the Greek word meant, was the immersion in water and bringing up out of the water. And so because Baptists would not submit infants to be sprinkled, and we also believe, according to the scriptures very strongly, that the Bible says baptism is a public testimony of your inward faith in Christ, your identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so a baby cannot make a public confession of faith because the baby has not reached the age where it can understand the gospel message, get saved, and then publicly testify to their identity with the death, burial, and resurrection of their Savior. And also, we believe that baptism is not in order to get saved, but because we are saved, a picture of our salvation. And so for that reason and others, Baptists down through the ages, when the Catholic Church came into being in the 4th century and began enforcing its will on other churches, if you would not submit your babies to infant baptism, they would throw you in jail. They would take your children away from you. And so Baptists down through the ages have fought for their right not to have certain things done that they don't believe in, that we don't believe in. And so one of them was certain states, again, Massachusetts, required that infants, because it was a Protestant church that had come out of the Catholic Church, they brought infant baptism with them. And so as a result, the Congregational Church in Massachusetts Colony required that parents submitted their children to baptism as infants by the hands of the congregational minister. And so Baptists would not go along with that, and they would be fined, they would be imprisoned, they would have property confiscated, and things of that nature. And so this is something that our Attorney General recognizes. Free exercise of religion includes a right to act or abstain from action in accordance with one's beliefs. Now, here's another one. The freedom of religion extends to persons, and then he adds this on, and organizations. Now, this is important because this is not just persons, but this individuals. This is persons collectively exercising their religion through churches or other religious denominations. Not only that, but through schools, private associations, and even businesses. And here's number four. Americans do not give up their freedom of religion by participating in the marketplace, partaking of the public square, interacting with government. There's a lot of people who say, well, as long as you keep it private, keep it within the doors and the walls of the church, do whatever you want, say whatever you want, just don't take it outside. Well, the Attorney General in this list of policies to preserve our religious freedom in this country recognizes that the Freedom of religion extends to persons and organizations, and it extends into the public marketplace as well. You can live your religion out in the public sphere. There's no reason not to. We have the right, we have that freedom, and we need to exercise it. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.